This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, 18 minutes past 7. You're listening to BFM 89.9. You know, yesterday we discussed the announcement by the Minister for Economic Affairs, Dato Sri Azman Ali. He said that the government would formulate a new economic policy to address Bumi Putera concerns. And according to him, the ministry will begin discussions and engagement with key stakeholders in the country's economic sectors. So for some insights, we asked Dr. Terence Gomez, the Professor of Political Economy at the University of Malaya, to weigh in on the Bumi Putera policy. In his view, the rhetoric on the Bumi Putera policy reflects the political tussle within the Pakatan coalition itself.
Azmin has now said that he wants to introduce a Bumiputra-based policy. PKR President Anwar has come out and said that he does not subscribe to this view. In fact, he said this is Azmin's personal opinion. There's a difference here in terms of party representation. Bersatu basically caters to the Bumiputra electorate, but it has no currency among the Bumiputras. The number of seats that Bersatu has in the Malay heartland states is very small. PKR, on the other hand, its constituency base is primarily urban, middle class, and semi-urban. For PKR, it'd be better for them to have a non-race-based policy. In fact, if you look at the manifesto, Anwar is right. They had said it in the manifesto, there's going to be a non-race-based policy from now on. So here, the politics of what's going on within the coalition is, I would say, a problem between the Prime Minister, Mahathir, and the Prime Minister in waiting, Anwar Ibrahim, also seems to be shaping the way in which policy debates are going to emerge. Now, the way the politics of this pans out will have a significant bearing on the economics of the Bumiputra policy.
Additionally, Terence believes that the alliance of UMNO and PAS has spurred factions in Pakatan Harapan to push for the Bumiputra policy.
Now, a new dimension which has just emerged, which has exacerbated this issue, is that UMNO has decided to marry PAS. Now, with the coming together of this alliance between UMNO and PAS, it has proven to be an effective alliance in terms of taking away a lot of support for the Pakatan, especially among the Bumiputra electorate. That's how they see it. And this was most clearly evident in the Cameron Highlands and in the recent by-election in Semeney. So what we are seeing here now also is a knee-jerk reaction by Azmin. Azmin has said, we definitely now have to introduce the Bumiputra policy. Now, what that means is he's saying this is a political response to the fact that we are losing Bumiputra support, so we must institute this immediately. He's now going to push the agenda forward. And he has also now said that he's going to create a special committee to look into this, which will comprise people from different sectors, including the public sector, private sector, GLCs, and so on.
On this point, Terence questions the setting up of yet another committee tasked with looking at economic policy.
What now is the role of the National Economic Action Council, which was also recently formed, which was also, to my mind, supposed to look into this? I would also then ask, what happened to the recommendations of the Committee of Eminent People? I do know that this CEP looked into this issue. I should know because I was called in for a meeting with them and I discussed precisely these issues. So what are their recommendations here too? So this idea of creating one committee after another to look into this issue is now becoming problematic. The government needs to be very clear in terms of transcending their political differences, sitting down and looking at what is really in the interest of the nation, and then deciding what policies they should have.
Interesting comments by Professor Gomez. And really comes down, I mean, the nub of the whole situation is really Malaysia's competitiveness on the global stage, I guess. And the lens here really is fixed on the Bumiputra policy. One gets the feeling, though, that this whole issue of politicizing Malaysia's competitiveness is really thwarting our ability to compete even on the regional stage. And we're constantly dealing with these demons internally without having to deal with a larger national goal of competing with our more faster and even larger neighbours.
So, yeah, that's right. I mean, there's Well, that's one obstacle. I mean, that's one war, which is competing externally. But internally as well, there's, like Terence was saying, that there has been some shift of, you know, dynamics. For example, the alliance between UMNO and PAS, which he is referring to, saying that, you know, Pakatan Harapan has got this knee-jerk reaction to sort of prepare themselves for the next election, which is happening in Rantau. But there's also that highlight that where Anwar is saying that in the manifesto, it did say that Pakatan Harapan's sort of policy is to go for non-based, sort of non race-based policy.
And now it seems as if we're going back. I mean, so, reversing our steps.
Right, it seems. So I think that's where it's lacking around. The devil's in the detail, whether or not there has been a change in the detail of the policy, or is this just is this an exercise of rebranding or communication?
It's interesting for me that this is really highlighting, you know, as Professor Gomez said, it's really highlighting the divisions within the Pakatan Harapan coalition. Because if you think about it, this coalition wasn't formed through any kind of shared ideology. They were formed for out of convenience, and for the sole purpose of taking down former Prime Minister Dato Sri Najib Razak. So now they are having to reconcile their very different viewpoints, and this is clearly coming out with, you know, Dato Sri Anwar saying that, oh no, this was Azmin's personal opinion. Oh no, actually, we shouldn't be having a race based policy because it wasn't in our original manifesto. It just makes me question how Pakatan Harapan is going to move forward. Is this the straw that's going to break the camel's back?
Yeah, good point you make, because it is really a situation where the existing coalition has to... And I think the real conundrum for Pakatan here is having been corralled and even pushed into coming up with an update to the new economic policy when it's actually not in their initial manifesto to do so. But they've been forced into the situation from the last two by-elections, as you quite rightly pointed out, Sharitz, and we've got Rantau coming up, and if it's three in a row where the Pakatan coalition, you know, loses out to the previous administration and their grouping, it could be a real blow in the face. Now, one of the issues that for really centers on the Bumi policy was the subject of privatizations, and it's one of those things which continues to ail us with the travails at Malaysia Airlines. Now, these are one of the concerns that Professor Gomez expressed about the previous incarnations. Here's him elaborating on this issue.
The discussion on privatization first emerged in the 1980s, and they began actively implementing it in the 1990s. The consequence of the privatization policy was also in this, they bundled it with the Bumiputra policy, because one of the key issues at the time was to promote the Bumiputra commercial and industrial community policy. So link BCIC with privatization, and so there was selective patronage and deprivatized. And one of the consequences of this was, as you saw in 1997, when the currency crisis occurred, many of these companies collapsed and we had to renationalize these companies. Interestingly, they're doing the same thing again. They're talking about bundling the Bumiputra policy with the privatization policy. And they're going to say, look, we have to create Bumiputra community in business, so we have to target them, so we're going to do it through privatization, through divestments. But the lessons of history is this: when you bundle these two policies together, the outcomes have been disastrous, especially in times of crisis.
So we also asked Terence, what kind of policy should the government be looking into to implement to address Bumiputra's concerns?
The issue here that we are most concerned about is the plight of poor people or low-income people, the B40. They have correctly said that you can find many of these people in the under-industrialized states such as Kelantan, Terengganu, Perlis. One can include here Sabah. And these are Bumiputra-dominant states. Now, if you look at history, when the government decided to target poor people, they created an important ministry. It was called the Ministry for Rural and Regional Development. Tun Razak did it. And when Tun Razak created this ministry, he also created important statutory bodies, RISDA, Ketengah, and so on. Now, they were asked to go to these rural areas and implement mechanisms to uplift the plight of the poor. So they brought in good infrastructure, they brought in mechanisms to increase productivity among people in the fishery sector and in agriculture. And it worked. In fact, today, by the government's own admission, today the issue is that we don't have serious poverty. In fact, the poverty rate, according to the government, is about 0.6%.
Finally, Terence stressed that using this existing framework would be more effective than trying to come up with yet another race-based policy.
The real problem is about inequalities. Now, this structure, for example, the Ministry of Rural and Regional Development, with important statutory bodies, situated in areas where people still need help, including, as I mentioned, the Bumiputra-dominant states, should be looked at very carefully and be seen as a mechanism through which we can use these institutions to continue to uplift the plight of people who are still in the low-income areas in those states. Why isn't the government doing it? We still have a Ministry of Rural and Regional Development. We still have major statutory bodies situated in those states which can do these things. I would think that they should be looking at those kinds of institutional frameworks to try and uplift the people rather than coming up with a race-based policy. A more institutional-based response would be better than race-based policies to solving the problems that we see in the country today.
That was Professor Terence Gomez, Professor of Political Economy at the University of Malaya. We're going to be coming back after this with more news and analysis. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.